KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:05, it's mostly clear and 16 degrees in Atlantic. We do look for areas of patchy fog today and freezing drizzle this morning. Otherwise, skies will be partly cloudy to cloudy with a high near 30, winds northeast at 10 miles per hour. Good morning and Happy New Year. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Jeff Moranz of Stifel Investments. A Red Oak woman arrested Thursday night for interference with official acts, which is a simple misdemeanor, was subsequently charged with felony offenses for possession of contraband and possession of weapon in a correctional facility, that being the Montgomery County Jail. 41-year-old Brianna Nadine Gasper was taken into custody at around 9:42 p.m. The felony charges followed a search of her possessions and person at the Montgomery County Jail. Her bond was set at $10,000. Well, the Cass County Board of Supervisors Thursday morning met with Kurt Holste and Corey Kirchhoff, representing the Secondary Roads Employees Bargaining Unit Group, to discuss an apparent breach of the current employee contract agreement. Board Chair and Supervisor Steve Beyer told KJAN News the issue began when one of the Secondary Road Department's shop foremen developed medical issues that are in the process of being taken care of. In the meantime, he's unable to perform his duties.
Typically, what has happened in the past, including at the shop and with the other person involved, the substitutes, when he's been out on vacation and things like that, there hasn't been any compensation for it.
And since the foreman became ill in mid-October, Cass County Engineer Trent Wolkin proposed having the person who fills the position become the interim foreman and be paid accordingly.
Well, in the Secondary Roads contract, this is what it says, and I'm reading from the contract. A regular full-time employee, while performing 8 hours work on a temporary basis in a higher job classification below the job classification of foreman, shall be compensated at the contractual wage rate for the applicable job classification.
So if a laborer works at a yardman's position for at least 8 hours, the pay would be bumped up to yardman's wages. But if the classification is written, the way it's written, there was no extra pay to perform the duties of foreman.
I think Trent, the engineer, coming from the background experience he's had, it just made sense to him, that person taking on this responsibility of foreman, especially in the winter season when you've got a lot of decisions that need to be made, should be compensated. And so he came to the supervisors and said, this isn't in the contract, but this is what I'd like to do.
The board agreed to his proposal, and a memorandum of understanding was drawn up confirming their approval. The MOU is set to expire at the end of the current fiscal year, which is June 30th, 2021. The bargaining group, Beyer said, questioned why the change was being included now when it hasn't been before. The discussion Thursday, he said, included whether or not the matter would at least be considered for part of the permanent contract in the future going forward. The board and bargaining unit representatives set a date for the first full week of this month of January to meet and begin work on a fiscal year 2022 bargaining agreement.
It's not often that a bargaining group comes to you and says, no, we don't want more pay. But that's kind of what it is. It's kind of one of those man bites dog stories. My inclination is anytime somebody has to assume more responsibility for any length of time, it probably should be compensated. Otherwise, there's going to come a time when you need somebody to step up, and they're going to say, well, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be the one on the bad end of a phone call when somebody's road didn't get plowed right or their mailbox got plowed over.
Byrus says it's an unusual situation to be sure, but one that will be worked out.
As much as anything, I think the bargaining group would have liked to have had it in the contract permanently, and I mean, that's something that will be negotiated, and in all likelihood, something along that line will be in there. Language might have to be tweaked a little bit.
Well, the Cass County Conservation Board is holding a 120 hours outdoor challenge all year in 2021. The program begins today and will conclude January 1st, 2022. Explore the natural features Cass County has to offer and more. Outside activities do not have to be done in Cass County per se, but participants need to be Cass County residents in order to sign up. The CCCB encourages you to explore nature by hiking, birding, and walking, but also through meditation or sitting in spots outside. Everything you do outside counts. Why 120 hours, you might ask? Well, there are studies that show benefits to spending 2 to 3 hours outside per week. Those benefits include lowering stress levels, decreasing blood pressure, and boosting mental health. To register, call 769-2372. That's area code 712, of course. You can email to sign up at lkanning@cascoiowa.us or simply visit Cass County Conservation on Facebook to register through a Google form. Register each person in your household individually, entering the same email for multiple individuals if needed. After you register, you'll be emailed a time tracking sheet for each person you've registered. Individuals who reach milestones of 30, 60, 90, and or 120 hours will be entered into drawings for prizes over the course of the year. In order to be entered for the prizes, a photo of your tracker is due on the check-ins May 1st, September 1st, and January 1st of next year. Photos of the progress at those dates should be emailed to the same address I mentioned a moment ago. All three check-ins must be completed for a grand prize. Again, follow Cass County Conservation on social media, Facebook and Instagram, for ideas about how to get your house outside, or hours it is outside every week. And you may also use the hashtag 120HRSCASCOIA as a hashtag for all of your adventures. And all that information is in the same story on the news page at KJAN.com. In our funeral announcements this morning, Milton Earl Mueller, age 90, of Council Bluffs and formerly of Walnut, died December 24th. Graveside services with military honors for Milton Mueller will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the Layton Township Cemetery in Walnut. Masks and social distancing will be required. Hockenberry Funeral Home in Atlantic is handling the arrangements. John Wendt, age 88, of Portsmouth, died Wednesday at his home. A private family mass of Christian burial for John Wendt will be held tomorrow at 11 o'clock at St. Mary Our Lady of Fatima Church in Portsmouth. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Dick Gibson, age 88, of Linden, died Sunday. Services for Dick Gibson will be held Monday at 10:30 at the Twig Funeral Home in Panora. Wilson McCurdy, age 96, of Panora, died Monday in Guthrie Center. Services for Wilson McCurdy will be held on Tuesday at 11 o'clock at the First Christian Church in Panora. Twig Funeral Home of Panora has arrangements. Leanne Hannah Davis, age 85, of Harlan, died Tuesday at the Elmcrest Retirement Community. Graveside services for Leanne Davis will be held Wednesday at 1 o'clock at the Memorial Park Cemetery in Council Bluffs. Pauly Jones Funeral Home of Harlan has the arrangements. Paul Toodles Linen, Sr., age 94, of Harlan, died December 25th at Murtu Medical Center. A mass of Christian burial for Paul Linen, Sr. will be held next Thursday at 10:30 at St. Mary Our Lady of Fatima Catholic Church in Portsmouth. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Arthur Leonard Alm, Sr., age 91, of Griswold, died Monday at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. Memorial service for Arthur Leonard Alm, Sr. will be held at a later date. Reagan Dune Funeral Home of Griswold is assisting the family. Marion Sint, age 78, of Oakland, died December 23rd in Gilbert, Arizona. Memorial services for Marion Sint will be at a later date. Reconvened Funeral Home of Oakland is assisting the family. Marilyn Farote, age 91, of Greenfield, died Thursday at the Greenfield Rehab and Healthcare Center. Funeral services for Marilyn Farote are pending with the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. Jean Held, age 89, of Fontenelle, died Wednesday at the Adair County Memorial Hospital in Greenfield. Services for Jean Held are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle. Peggy Jorgensen, age 61, of Fontenelle, died Wednesday in Iowa City. Funeral services for Peggy Jorgensen are pending at Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle. Rex Noland, age 78, of Adair, died Monday in Des Moines. Services for Rex Noland are pending with the Hockenberry Funeral Home in Adair. The news was brought to you by Jeff Morenz of Stiefel Investments. Give him a call at 712-243-5500. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.